Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin our new Masichta, let us point out that this Masichta is accompanied by a wonderful book of illustrations known, its title being the Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. He authored several books of illustrations on a few different masichtas. Those of you who were with us while we were learning Maseches Erevin will have noted that we were learning the entire masichta alongside the Pirush Chai. Likewise, with regard to Maseches Sukkah, he has a book that covers features illustrations for this masichta as well. And you will notice, possibly, from time to time, numbers that appear between the lines other than our standard numbering system that illustrates a series of the topic at hand. Other numbers that you might notice will be references to the Pirush Chai, and we will try to mention what illustration we are looking at together when that occasion arises. The Mishnah itself is introduced with a title heading that we have on the side of the Gemara, and we've written under our Nosei, which represents the title. In addition, we will see from time to time headings on the side of the Gemara called the Mivneh, the structural note. Here our Nosei says, Devarim Shonim HaPoislim B'Sukkah, different phenomena that render a Sukkah invalid. The Mishnah lists four examples of that. And we now start the Mishnah. Sukkah shehi gavoa lamalo me'esrim amo. A sukkah that is more than 20 amos. That means the schach that covers the sukkah, which is referred to by the term sukkah, the sukkah, the main part of the sukkah, if you will, is the schach, the branch covering. If it is more than 20 amos from the ground, in other words, the space in the sukkah, the covering, is more than 20 amos above the ground, so it's what is being referred to here. This is the first example, and in brackets you can see that there is a machlokes tanoim about a sukkah that's more than 20 amos. The reason we have the brackets is that we want you to be able to read in a smooth fashion a list of issues, so that the smooth reading to get to the list, we read already the first sukkah that's more than 20 amas tall, then number two, v'she'eno gavo asor tfachim, if it's very very short. In other words, the space between the ground and the branches, the schach covering, is less than 10 handbreadths, less than 10 tefachim. The third problem is v'she'ein lo shalosh defanos. It lacks 3 walls. The minimum acceptable sukkah would be something that has a representative 3 walls. And four, v'shachamos amrubo mitzilsa. If the amount of sun entering the sukkah is more than the amount of shade that it produces, psula, that's an unfit sukkah. Now, we read this as a list. We will find that to be significant when we get into the Gemara itself. But in the meantime, we did skip a few words at the beginning of the Mishnah, so let's read this again. Sukkah shigvoa lamala me'asrim amo, a sukkah that's more than 20 amas tall. So the first opinion says psula, it's unfit. For Rebbe machshir, Rebbe Yehuda says that is acceptable. So the issue of a too-tall sukkah, what constitutes a too-tall sukkah, will be the subject of a controversy. The Gemara, as it opens up, introduces a Tanaic source from Maseches Eruvin. on the side of the Gemara, there are no say, there are topic heading we've written, Hesber, Lehevdel, Bein Haloshon, B'Maseches Ervin. The Gemara will try to explain the difference, language-wise, text-wise, between the source in Maseches Ervin, Legabi Kira, Gavoa, Me'esrim. A Kira is a cross beam that is placed at the entrance to a Mavui. A Mavui is roughly translated as an alleyway. We'll talk about an alleyway or a dead-end street that's surrounded on three sides of that street. It's surrounded by courtyards and houses. You can see this is illustrated in the Pirush Chai on page number 2, illustration 5 and illustration 6. In illustration 6, you see the cross beam that we are referring to. The Mavui is a three, as we said, is a type of cul-de-sac. It's a dead-end street with houses and courtyards, as we see, on three sides. And the cross beam that goes over the entranceway is a rabbinic requirement to enable carrying within that street on Shabbos. That's called a kora. The kora is to be positioned within 20 amos of the ground. So in Maseches Ervin, there's a reference to a kora, and the common point here is it's there also more than 20 amos. And Shekotoni, there it says, we're continuing with our note, it says there, Yema'et. It says, lower it, reduce its height. The sukkah gavoa me'esrim dekotoni psula, and in the case of our Mishnah, it says a sukkah that's the schach that's more than 20 amos from the ground. It says uses the term psula; it's unfit. So just to contrast these two sources once again, in Eruvin it talks about the too high or the too tall kora. There, the word that's used is yima'e. It gives you a solution: lower it. Our Mishnah doesn't give you a solution. It just says, psula, it's unfit. So now, why the difference? Why in our Mishnah does the term psula, is that the term that's used? And in Erevin, yema'et. So now the Gemara. Tanan hosam. And you can see we have a Tanaic source. The frame indicates that. And we also mentioned before to look at illustration 6. Mavui shehi gavoa me'esrim amo. A mavui, which is the alleyway, shehu gavoa, their pronoun shehu is a reference to the kora, the crossbeam, that's placed more than 20 amas from the ground. You might lower it. Rabbi Yehuda omer, eino tzorach, you don't need to lower it. Again, you can see Rabbi Yehuda is kind of consistent with what we saw in our mission in that bracketed section, where he is not bothered by it being more than 20 amas. The Gemara asks, "My shno gabi suka de toni psula." What is different about our Mishnah regarding the too tall suka that the Mishnah uses the term psula? "My shno gabi mavui," and what's the difference by mavui, the alleyway with the kora going across, de toni takanto? It gives a solution. Tikkun is a solution. Yema'et. In order to answer this, the Gemara presents two explanations. Number one, Sukkah d'oiraisa toni psula, Mavui d'rabbonon toni takanta. Sukkah and the laws pertaining to Sukkah are given in the Torah. The Torah and Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, information about the Sukkah was known from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the giving of the Torah. From that point, from Matan Torah, we knew about it. So that when the Mishnah comes to refer to the laws of Sukkah, the Mishnah is coming off the backdrop of pre-knowledge of the laws of Sukkah. So the term psula is appropriate. The case regarding the Mavui and the Kora is purely rabbinic in nature. It's not something that we can say was known from time immemorial. So when you're learning the Mishnah in in Erevin concerning the Korah, that in fact is the first time you are being introduced to the laws concerning Mavui. So the term psula would be inappropriate. And if we look in Rashi, we'll see how he explains this. Rashi, Sukkah de'oraisa, Rashi's more or less across from here, the Esrim Amo, the Sukkah, which is Torah-based, the Esrim Amo Dila, the 20 Amos of it, of the Sukkah, Yalfinun Midoraisa. It's learned from the Torah. The Kodem Shenishnes HaMishneh, before the Mishnah, was taught Ne'emra Shi'ura Misinai, the dimensions were stated from the giving of the Torah of Mount Sinai. Therefore, Toni Psula, Shayich Lemisne Baloshon Pasul. The word pasul is appropriate. Klomar, it means to say that loy nasis ketayra ukahalocha, a sukkah that was made more than 20 amas from the ground, was not done according to that known standard. We say the known standard, i.e., before the Mishnah was taught. There was a known standard. So the Mishnah comes in and tells me that if it's more than 20 amas from the ground, so it doesn't conform to that known standard. And in one word, it's psula. Mavui, dekule midrabbanan, we're continuing in Rashi. Mavui, which is exclusively rabbinic in nature, de midoraisa sagile b'shalosh mechitzas, from a Torah standpoint, to be able to carry in that alleyway, three sides are enough. The eino tzorach l'kura zu ela midrabbanan. The requirement of having a crossbeam over the entrance is purely rabbinic in nature. Therefore, we continue in Rashi, toni takanto, de lo shayach l'misne b'loshen posel. The word pusul is inappropriate for something that we didn't have any prior knowledge to concerning. Deman posla kodem shenishis mishnezu. Who rendered it unfit before the Mishnah was taught? Who rendered a korah more than 20 amas from the ground as being unfit before the Mishnah comes to tell me that? Hare he tchilas hara'asu mitzvaso. The Mishnah represents the first time we're learning about it. Therefore, just to repeat the point, the term psula is inappropriate when you're introducing something for the first time. The term psula is appropriate when it's referring to some prior set of rules and knowledge. That not being the case in the case of the Korah, so the Mishnah there could not use the word psula. Hence it had to use the word yema'it, reduce it. The iboyasema, the Gemara continues, with another approach, bidoraisa nami toni takanto, when you're dealing with rules that are of a Torah nature, and you want to say that you want to present a problematic situation, it's not beyond the realm of the Mishnah to tell me how to fix the situation, the problematic situation. Mihu, sukkah, the nefishin mile. However, with regard to our Mishnah that contains, nefishin means a lot, a mila of dinim, a lot of laws. And each one of the laws and their solution are not similar to one another. For example, too tall sukkah, reduce is the solution. Too short sukkah, raise would be the solution. It doesn't have three walls, make a third wall. Different. Each one's a different solution. That's nefishin mile. So the Mishnah in cooperation with the rabbinic dictum that states teach in a concise fashion. Lolam yilamed odom es tamidoi baderech ktsora. So the Mishnah opts to use the short method, the concise method, and says, lists the problem, says, psula, it doesn't get involved. The Mishnah doesn't get involved with all of the solutions. So the word psula is an accurate term that groups together all of the problems mentioned in the Mishnah. Let's read that line again. Sukkah, the nefishin mile, posik vitoni psula. The case of sukkah, namely our Mishnah, that presents nefishin a lot of rules concerning a lot of problems regarding the sukkah. Posik vitoni, it teaches in a decisive and concise fashion. psula. That's the word, and it's appropriate covering all the cases. Movui delo nafish mile, the case of the movui in the Mishnah that features the movui, where there aren't a lot of details. There's only the problem of the too high korah, the too high beam. Toni takanta. So, since it's only one issue that is presented, so it gives you the solution. It's not overburdening you with a lot of information. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new discussion. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneh heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note. So, as you skim ahead in the Gemara, let your eye catch some markings. You'll notice diamonds appear, and a series of double underlines appear on the side of the Gemara. You notice we have, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic heading with the structural note combined, Gimel Deos, the diamond is featured. They represent three opinions, Be'inyan Mokur Lepsul Sukkah Me'al Chof Amo. What is the source for the sukkah being unfit more than 20, if it is more than 20 amos, if the schach is more than 20 amos from the ground? And in parentheses, we added l'shitas rabbonon. According to the rabbonon, more than 20 amos represents a problem. And the double underline will highlight the expressions ad esrim amo, and in contrast, l'malo me esrim amo, up till 20 amos and more than 20 amos. On the side of the Gemara, the other margin, you notice we've included a pasuk, Vayikra Perek Chof Gimel, and we'll be looking at Psukim Mem Beis and Mem Gimel. Let's read the Psukim together to get a flavor of what we're going to see in the Gemara. Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim Kol HaEzrach B'Yisrael Yeshu Basukos. That the Torah is instructing the population of Israel, the Jewish people, to dwell in Sukkos for 7 days. And Pasuk Mem Gimel goes on to say, Leman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukos Hoshavti Es Bnei Yisrael Botzi Oysa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ani Hashem Elokechem. So that the mitzvah of Sukkah is given in order for us to remember that the Almighty caused us to dwell in something called Sukkos as they were leaving Egypt. The Gemara. Mino Hanimili. Note the abbreviation there. That is, again, Mino Hanimili. From where do we know that more than 20 amos is a problem? And we have, in our sugya, we've got Rabba. He's explanation 1. Later, Rabbi Zera. And following him, number 3, is Rava. So, Omar Rabba. Omar, the Omar Krah, the Pasuk says, Leman Yedu Doro Sechem Ki Basukos Hoshafti Es Bnei Yisrael. We've, with our markings, highlighted the word Yedu. Yedu is to know, to be aware, that we are to know that that future generations are to know, namely, through our sitting in the sukkah, it is supposed to be noticeable that we were in Sukkos. We dwelt in Sukkos in leaving Israel. And the term Sukkah is a reference to the Schach, as we said earlier, the branch covering of the Sukkah. So the Torah is expecting that while we are sitting in the Sukkah, it is noticeable. The Schach is to be noticeable. On the side of the Gemara, and that is in the Rashi, we glance at the Rashi, a number of lines down from here. Leman Yedu, Asei Sukkah, make a sukkah, Shiyeshivasa Nikeres Lach, that through your sitting in it, it is clear, Dichtiv Yedu, Kiba Sukkah Sishavti, Tzivisi Leishev, I commanded you to dwell thusly, Hachi Doresh Le. That is how we are expounding on the Pasuk. Even though the simple meaning of the pasuk is not a reference to our while we're sitting in the sukkah booth, we should notice the schach. The simple reading of the pasuk is a reference to the miraculous cloud encirclement or covering that the Jews were provided with in the Exodus from Mitzrayim. Mihu darshino lei the drasha. Nevertheless, even though we have a simple meaning of the pasuk that is a reference to the clouds of glory that accompanied the Jews out of Egypt, there is the drasha, the expansion of the pasuk to reflect the laws of sukkah. So let's continue now in the Gemara. We've established that the pasuk is alluding to a sitting of recognition. While you're sitting, you are noticing the schach. And the Gemara continues, Ad esrim amo odom yodea shudor besukkah. Within 20 amos, a person will notice that he is dwelling in a sukkah, a booth with a branch covering. Lamala me esrim amo, if the branch covering is more than 20 amos, ein odom yodea shudor besukkah. He doesn't have the awareness that he's dwelling in a sukkah. And again, we emphasize the term sukkah is not just a booth, but it's a booth with a branch covering. And why more than 20 amos do you not notice the branch covering? Mishum delo shalta ba eino. Because one's eye doesn't notice it, doesn't see it. And this is an issue of, unless you keep your head at a 90 degree angle turned upwards, you're not going to notice while you're sitting or walking around in a sukkah, you're not going to automatically notice the schach when it is more than 20 amos above head. So Rabbah is associated with the concept of the lo shalta ba'ena. Your eye doesn't have control or notice it. Rabbi Zera Omar Mehocha. Rabbi Zera gives us a second source for why more than 20 amos represents a problem. What does the pasuk say? So the pasuk here is quoted from the book of Yeshaya. The prophet Yeshaya says, "V'tzukah tia litzel yoimom mechayrev." The Rashi adds, "V'tzukah tia litzel mashma ein schach elo o'asuya litzel." Schach is a shade producer. That is the meaning of the pasuk for us, that the sukkah, the schach, is a shade producer. Ad esrim amo odom yoshev betzel sukkah. When the height of the schach is within 20 amos of the ground, so the shade that you will be receiving, that you'll be experiencing while you're out on the floor, is shade coming from the schach. However, lamala me'esrim amo, if the schach is more than 20 amos, and here we want to take advantage of the illustration on page 3, illustration number 8. You can see that with the walls so tall, the shade that's being cast upon you is shade coming from the walls. That's the Gemara says, "Lemalo me'esrim amo ein odom yoshev betzel sukkah elo betzel tefanos." When the schach is more than 20 amos from the ground, you're no longer sitting in the shade produced by the schach, but rather you're sitting in the shade produced by the walls. Rashi says, "Elo betzel tefanos shehatzlolin magin ze loze mitoch govon shel tefanos." The shade. From each side, it reaches the other side without any need for the schach. In other words, for where you are located, you're going to be receiving shade produced by the walls without any need for the schach. Later on Omid Beis, the Gemara is going to set up the case. In other words, this phenomenon is when you're dealing with the sukkah whose floor space is not any more than 4 by 4 amos. 4 by 4 amos would be something order of magnitude of 2 by 2 meters. Tikim luhu l'rabbonon de'bahai shiur lekot seil schach elot seil shel defanas. The Rabbonon understood, they knew that when you're dealing with a floor space, an area of less than 4 by 4 amos, and the height is more than 20 amos, the shade that is experienced on the bottom is shade coming from the walls and not shade from the schach. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le'Abaye. You'll notice Abaye here, and also later when Rava presents his position, Abaye interjects or enters with a question on each one of their explanations. So in reference to Rabbi Zeiro's explanation, Abaye asks. And before we read his question, we want to look at illustration number 9. We see over there a sukkah. That's a regular, normal size sukkah, but it's built in a type of canyon with mountains on either side. So the shade that one experiences in that sukkah is shade that is not going to be coming from the schach. So are you going to say that a sukkah like that, a kosher, normal size, normal height sukkah, will be unkosher over there? And that's not reasonable. We know that it is kosher. Ah, but according to Rabbi Zeira, shade must be produced by the schach and not by something else. So why, according to Rabbi Zeira, is this sukkah going to be kosher nevertheless? Let's see now the Gemara. Omar le Abaye, Elo me'ata. With now that Rabbi Zera has said his explanation, Ashteros Karnayim. Ashteros Karnayim is the name of a place that would look like what we saw in the illustration. A person who builds his sukkah in that locale, Ashteros Karnayim, Hachi Nami Dalo Havi Sukkah. Are you going to in fact argue that it's an unkosher sukkah because the schach is not the source of the shade for someone in that sukkah, but rather it's the fact that there are the mountain walls on either side? And we know it is a kosher sukkah. Amale, Rabbi Zeira answers, there's a fundamental difference between a too tall sukkah on flat ground and a normal size sukkah, a kosher size sukkah, in the canyon. So Rabbi Zeira says, Hasam dal ashros kanayim. If you, in your mind's eye, were to remove the Ashteros Karnayim, again, in your mind's eye, you take that normal size sukkah and put it anywhere else. Ikot sel sukkah. There is sail, there is shade coming from the schach. So that, true, when you build it there in the canyon, you also have the mountains there, but in effect you have a double source of shade. So if you, in your mind's eye, were to remove the mountains, you are still receiving kosher shade. Ha-ha, dal defanos, in the case of the too tall sukkah built on flat ground, you remove in your mind's eye the walls, and you can see there's an illustration number 10 where you've got the too tall sukkah, you, in your mind's eye, the walls were removed. Look at sail sukkah. There is no sail coming from the schach. The intense the exclusive opening, the fact that it's all open, enables the sun to come in through the sides, and hence the schach in that case is not going to be functional. If we look in the Rashi, under the Gemara text, the second line under the Gemara text, Dal defanos lekot sel sukkah, shechama bo mitachtel, the sun enters from underneath the schach, nimtza shma botel, the term of sukkah being a shade producer is rendered useless. So just to review the response, Rabbi Zeira's response, in the case of Ashteros Karnayim, as illustrated in number 9, remove the current shade producer, you will still have sukkah related shade. In number 10, remove the shade producer, i.e. the two tall walls, you're not going to have any shade. Continuing in the Gemara, the third explanation, why a too tall sukkah is, what's the source that a too tall sukkah is no good? The Rava Omar Mehocha, from here. Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim. The Rashi explains, it's a sukkah that is for 7 days and no longer, which in simple words is a temporary type dwelling. A temporary type dwelling means something that is flimsy. Omra Torah, kol shivas hayomim. The Torah says that for 7 days, semi tiras keva v'shev b'diras aroi. Leave your permanent type dwelling and dwell in a temporary type dwelling. So according to Rava, the Pasukah, Basukah's Teshu Shivas Yomim, is instructing us how the Sukkah is to be made. Ad esrim ama adam oises diraso diras aroi. Structurally, architecturally, engineering-wise, up till 20 amos, a structure could be made in a flimsy fashion, in a temporary-type fashion, and remain standing for 7 days. Lamalo me esrim amo, more than 20 amos, ein odam oise diraso diras aroi elo diras keva, a structure that is has walls and whose roof is going to be more than 20 amos from the ground cannot be made in a flimsy temporary style. Because of its height, it has to be made in a permanent type fashion. Omar le Abaye elo meata, so Abaye interjects with his objection. He says, Osa mechitza shel barzel v'zikech al gabon. Imagine a person made a normal size sukkah, but made of iron walls, and put the schach on that. Hachi nami delo havi sukkah, because it's of a permanent nature, because it's iron walls. Are you going to tell me it's not a good sukkah? It would be, though. We know that it would be good. There's nothing wrong if you were to put the schach upon walls that are permanent in nature. So we see from Abaye's objection that the fact that something is permanent in its nature, in its structure, doesn't render it unfit. Omar le Abaye, Rava answers, Hachi ko amin olach, thusly I am saying to you, Ad esrim amo, up till 20 amos, dodom oise diraso diras aroi. Since in potential it can be made in a flimsy fashion, if he makes it in a permanent way, he makes iron walls that are less than 20 amas in height, he's also nami nofik, he also fulfills his obligations. Lamalo meesrim amo, though a sukkah who is more than 20 amas in height, the odom oise diraso diras keva, in order to make it, you would have to make it in a permanent fashion. Ki ovid le dirasaroi, even if you were to make it in a flimsy temporary style, nami loy nofik, he will not be yotze, will not fulfill his obligation. Let's take a look in the Rashi. Lemalo me'esrim. We're looking at Rashi, four lines under the Gemara text at the end of the line. More than 20 amos. Tzorach lasus yisaydeseha. You have to make a foundation and walls that are fixed and permanent so that it shouldn't fall. Ad esrim amo de odom oise. The Gemara said that up till 20 amos, that a structure could be made in a temporary fashion. Even if you were to make it in a permanent way, you will still fulfill your obligation. Shapir domi, Rashi goes on. Devadai yesh bichlal keva roi. That even if you make it of a permanent nature, nevertheless, that less than 20 amma structure has included within it the potential of it being made in a flimsy way. Vare also katur. And therefore, even though you made it in a permanent way, you've made it in accordance with the rules of the Torah. When the Torah mentions Shivas Yomim, meaning something of a temporary nature, its concern, its preoccupation is to communicate sizes, shiur, dimensions. It's trying to tell me a maximum height. What's the maximum height that you can still make it in a temporary nature. So that as far as Rava is concerned, the issue of, or the pasuk that says Teshu Shivas Yomim, the pasuk is instructing us make a flimsy structure, and within 20 amos, the potential for a structure to stand for 7 days in a flimsy way exists. Therefore, even if you make a permanent type structure, it's okay, since the potential for the flimsy structure exists more than 20 amos, since it's not reasonable, it's not likely that a temporary structure would be able to stand. Even if you happen to make it in a flimsy fashion, it will not be acceptable. So on this Omid, we see a highly structured presentation, three explanations as to why the Rabbanan hold more than 20 amos would be an unfit sukkah. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kulhu kerabo lo amri. Kulhu means all of the others, namely Rabbi Zeira and Rava. They didn't follow Rava, who based himself on the pasuk of Laman Yedu Dorosechem. That's they. Kulhu kerabo lo amri. Hahu yedia ledoros hi. The pasuk, its main purpose, or its whole purpose, is to tell us about the Anane HaKavod, that people should be aware that we were provided with these clouds of glory during our exodus from Egypt. So, and the Pasuk is not, according to Rabbi Zeira and Rava, the Pasuk of Leman Yedu Dorosechem is not shedding light, if you like the partial pun over there, it's not shedding light on the issue of the Schach. Rabbi Zeira Nami Lo Amri, the others, namely Rava did not follow Rabbi Zeira's explanation learned from the pasuk, the Sukkah Tiel Tzel Yoimam, that the pasuk in Yeshaya is teaching me about the nature of Sukkah, namely that it's supposed to be a shade provider. Because Hahu, Rabbi Zeira will the others, that's Rabba and Rava, will tell you Hahu liyemois hamashiach hu dichtiv. That pasuk is not referring to sukkah booths, but rather it's a reference to the times of Moshiach. Rashi says liyemois hamashiach oisum sukkos, the sukkos in the times of Moshiach, you letzel leoinig lemistro, be a source of shade and pleasure. Avol sukkah's mitzvah eino letzel, but the sukkah of mitzvah fulfillment, the on the holiday of sukkahs, that is not a shade provider. The sukkah referred to in the future pasuk of Yeshaya, that's a reference to a booth that will be a shade provider for people's comfort. But as far as the sukkah described in the context of the holiday of sukkahs, that was not the topic of the pasuk in Yeshaya. Rabbi Zeira's response to their objection, Im Kain Lema Krav Chupotia Letzel Yomam. If the pasuk in Yeshaya is simply talking about that the people living at that time will be covered and protected, so another word could have been used, namely chupa, a canopy. The canopy will be a source of shade from the hot sun in the time of Moshiach. But the pasuk didn't use the word v'chupa; it used the word v'sukkah. Umay v'sukkah tielitzel yomim. Why did the Novi Yeshaya choose the word v'sukkah? Shamis mino tarti. We can learn both. We can learn that in the future there will be a source of shade and protection and comfort. But it's also here to tell me about the laws of the booth of the sukkah holiday, namely that it is to be a source of shade. The schach is supposed to be the shade producer. Kirova nami lo amri. The others, namely Rabo and Rabbi Zeira, did not explain using Rava's source. Mishum kushya de Abaye, because they were troubled by Abaye's question and were not accepting Rava's response. So they heard Rava's explanation about the sukkah supposed to be a temporary type structure, Shivas Yomim, something would stand for 7 days and not any longer, But according to that, a metal sukkah would not be acceptable, and we know that it is acceptable, even though it has a permanent side to it. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. Of course, you can see a double underline and a triangle marking presented. If you skim ahead in the Gemara, you will notice we've numbered these as well, three points, each one beginning with the question of Keman Azla. So on the side, we have Keman Azla, means according to whom, and Rav appears in a triangle. There are three deos, Gimel deos, Bedivrei Rav, three opinions within Rav, Mosai Harabonon Yaskimu Im Rabbi Yehuda. Under what circumstances would the Rabbonon agree with Rabbi Yehuda Lahachshir Sukkah L'malo Me'asrim? The nisayon lekasher bein gimel deos elu im shitay samaroyim ba'omen aleph. There will be an attempt to connect these three triangles, these three points made by Rav, with the three opinions that we saw on Omed Aleph, Rabo, Rabbi Zera, and Rava. Each one of them who explained explained the basis for the Rabbanan holding a too tall sukkah is unacceptable. So let's go over the scheme before we get into the Gemara. We learned on Omid Aleph three different explanations as to why the Rabbanan hold a too tall sukkah is no good. If you want a quick way of trying to remember it, a type of memory device, remember the phrase permanent eye shadow. Or, if you prefer, the eye shadow is permanent. Now, that's a memory device. Eye is a reference to Rabbo's explanation of lo shoto be'eino. If it's too tall, the eye won't see it. We said eye shadow. Shadow is a reference to Rabbi Zera, who spoke about the sukkatia litzel, that the sukkah must be a shade provider. And permanent is a reference to Rava's explanation of the sukkah needing to be a temporary structure, a non-permanent structure. So if you want to use our memory device, you can also say the eye shadow was temporary. Are there circumstances under which the Rabbanan would accept a sukkah more than 20 amas in height? Meaning, are there circumstances in which the Rabbanan would say, like Rabbi Yehuda, that even if it's more than 20 amas, it will be acceptable? We will go through three possibilities along those lines. And in each one of the possibilities, we'll try to see how that conforms to that which we said already on Omid Aleph as far as an explanation for something above 20 as not being acceptable. It's a little abstract at this point. Let's get into the Gemara and hopefully things will become clearer. We continue with the Gemara, six lines from the top. Of Beis Amid Beis, Keman Azla Ha Di Omar Rav Yoshia Omar Rav. Like which one of the Amoroyim on Omid Aleph would the following comment of Rav, according to Rav Yoshia, Rav Yoshia's version of Rav, conform? So there is a Rav Yoshia Omar Rav said, Machloikis B'she'en Defanos Magios L'schach. The controversy between the Rabbonin and Rabbi Yehuda concerns a sukkah whose walls aren't attached to the schach. In other words, the sukkah walls at their top edge, there is a gap. And after that, only beyond that, does the schach touch? Does the schach appear? So you have a wall, and then there is a gap. And if you notice in the Pirush Chai, we look at illustration number one, and in illustration number one, there is a sukkah that's too tall. And there's a letter Bays that appears in illustration one, which would be a case where the wall reaches just that point. So Rav Yoshia Omar Rav is telling us that the machlokis between Rabbon and Rabbi Huda is only where the walls don't touch the schach. Avotofanos magios the schach, if the walls touch the schach, afilu lemalo me'esrim amok sheira. Even if the schach is more than 20 amos, it will be acceptable, meaning even according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara asks, Kiman, according to which one of the opinions on Omer Aleph would this statement have been made? The Gemara answers, Kirabo. This is a statement that would be within the context of Rabbah's understanding of the Rabbonan. The Omar, Rabbah had said, why is a too tall sukkah no good? Mishum de lo sholta ba'eno. Because your eye doesn't see the schach when it's more than 20 amos overhead. The cave on the defanos magios the schach, but since the walls touch the schach, as Rav Yoshia is explaining now, in the case that the walls touch the schach, mishlat shalta bo eino, even if the sukkah is, the schach is more than 20 amas overhead, your eye will notice it, because there is a tendency for one's eye to follow till it reaches the top of the wall. So if there is a gap between the top of the wall and the schach, so if the schach is more than 20 amos overhead, and the top of the wall doesn't reach the schach, your eye will stop at that point. If, however, the wall touches the top of the schach, then your eye will follow up till it reaches the top of the wall, and even if the schach is more than 20 amas above overhead at that point, you will still notice it. The Gemara continues. Keman azlo hodi omar Rav Huna omar Rav. According to which one of the opinions that we saw on Omer Aleph would the following apply? Machlokes b'she'en bo ela arba amois al arba amois. The whole machlokes between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Huda regarding a too tall sukkah is if the floor space, the area of the sukkah is less than 4x4 amos. Avol yesh bo yoser me arba amos al arba amos. If the area of the sukkah measures more than 4x4 amos, say 16 square amos, afilu lamalo me esrim amok shero, then even the Rabbanan will concede that if the schach is more than 20 amos overhead, it is still acceptable. Keman, according to which one of the opinions that we saw on Omer Aleph would this statement have been made? Answer, Kerebi Zera, the Omar Mishum Tzeil. This would conform to Rebbe Zera's approach, who said that the shade must be provided by the schach. The cave on the Ravicha, since we've increased the floor, the area of the sukkah, the floor space of the sukkah, to being more than 4x4 amos, even if the schach is more than 20 amos overhead, Ika Tzeil Sukkah, shade will be provided by the schach. So just to repeat, according to Rav Huna Omar Rav, the reason the Rabbanon hold that a too tall sukkah is no good is because the sukkah is less than 4x4 amos, thereby depriving the person at the floor from receiving shade from the schach. However, once you increase the area of the sukkah, even if the schach is more than 20 amos overhead, you will be receiving shade from the schach. And hence, even the Rabbonin will say that's an acceptable sukkah. A third approach. Keman as lahoda omar Rav Chonon bar Rabba. According to whom would Rav Chonon's approach be? Rav Chonon bar Rabba omar Rav machloikis b'she'eino machzekis ela kidei roishoi v'rubo v'shulchono. We have an illustration in the Pirush Chai, illustration number 14, where we see a rather small sukkah. It holds Rosho Verubo, and this, by the way, is at the bottom of page 4. It holds Rosho Verubo, that means his head and the majority of his body, and his table. You can see a little table there. If the sukkah is that small, then we have the machlokis. Then the Rabbonin would say that more than 20 amos is not acceptable. Avol machzekis yoyser michdei roshiv ruba b'shulchanoi. If the sukkah is larger than that, afilu lamalo me'esrim amok shera. Even if it is more than, if the schach is more than 20 amos overhead, it is acceptable. Keman. So we're asking, according to whom of on Omen Aleph would this statement have been made? Answer, Delo Kechad. It doesn't conform to any of the explanations we saw on Omen Aleph. The Tosfos, it says, Keman, Delo Kechad, V'divrei Rav Chonon bar Rabba, Tzricha Taimo. As far as the explanation or the basis of Rav Chonon, that still needs to be explained. In other words, Rav Yoshia, we explained already, was concerned with your eye noticing the schach. Rav Huna Omar Rav was concerned with your receiving the shade from the schach. What is Rav Chonon bar Rabba's underlying explanation? So Tosfos said that needs an explanation. V'yesh meforshim, so some say, mishum dahavi leilul shel tarnegolim. Because a sukkah that is machzik rosh ruba v'shulchano, that's more than 20 amas tall, is like a chicken coop. Kevon de gavia uktina kule hai, since it's so disproportionate, it's that tall and that narrow. Avo machzek is tvei michtei roshoi, but if it holds more than that, then nafka michla lul shel tarnegolim, it no longer would be defined as a chicken coop, li akriye sukkah, and thereby being able to be called a sukkah. But as we said, that consideration of less than that it holds only Rosh Ruba v'Shulchano with such an extreme height of more than 20 amas, that's a chicken coop. That's an explanation that Tosfos offers, but that is not a consideration that we saw on Omed Aleph. We continue. Bishlamo de Rav Yoshia Pligo ad Rav Huna Rav Chonon bar Rabba. It's clear that explanation one here, that namely of Rav Yoshia, that which we'll say concerns Rav Yoshia is at odds or is against the underlying concern of Rav Huna and Rav Chonon. The inu koyahavi shiura b'mashcha. They give a size of the sukkah in terms, they present a a dimension of area. Masha would be its length and width. V'ihu lo koyohiv shi'ura b'masha. And Rabbi Yoshia doesn't concern himself, doesn't attempt to give us any dimensions of area. The Rashi says, "Lemashcha lemeshech hasukah." The Omar bein gedola bein tana, the area of the sukkah, whether it's large or small, lo nechleku elo b'shein defanos magios. The Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda, they don't argue. They don't. It doesn't make a difference to them. This is, of course, according to Rabbi Yoshia. It doesn't make a difference to them, other than do the walls touch the schach or not. So that's as far as Rabbi Yoshia is clearly concerned with a different concern other than that of Rav Huna and Rav Honan. We continue in the Gemara. Ela Rav Huna v'Rav Honan bar Rabba. But as far as these two opinions, it's opinion 2 and 3, Nemo behechshir sukkah komifilgi, should we say that they argue as to what the minimum size, area-wise, of a sukkah is? The more sovar hechshir sukkah b'arba amos, that Rav Huna holds that a minimum kosher size of a sukkah is 4 amos, umor sovar hechshir sukkah b'machzekes roshei v'rubo v'shulchono, and Rav Honan holds that a minimum kosher sukkah can be in fact smaller, provided it holds only roshei v'rubo v'shulchono. Is that their machlokes? Do they argue about that? Lo. Limor says, no, they, Rav Huna and Rav Hanan, don't have a machlokes about what is the kosher size, the minimum kosher size of a sukkah. Lo. De kule almo hechsher sukkah rosho verubo v'shulchano. As far as Rav Huna and Rav Honan are concerned, they both agree that the minimum size of a sukkah is rosho, as long as it contains, it's capable of holding your head, most of your body, and your table. V'hocha b'ho komifugi. And here, what we presented above, 2 and 3, the following is the machlokes. The more sovar b'machzekes roshoy v'rubo v'shulchano pligi, avol yoser miroshev v'rubo v'shulchano divrei halakha k'shera. Rav Honan, which was the third approach, he would tell you that once the sukkah holds more than rosho v'rubo v'shulchano, which is less, by the way, it's less than 4x4 amos, at that point there is no tanaic controversy between the Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda, that even if the schach is more than 20 amos, it's kosher. That's Rav Honan. Umor sovar, Rav Huna would tell you, me roshe v'rubo v'shulchano ad arba amos pligi. That once you are at the roshe v'shulchano size, from that point upwards, up till 4x4 area, there still will be a machlokes. A machlokes between the Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda. Avol yoser midalet amos divrei halakha k'shera. Only if it's more than 4 amos, in 4x4 amos, only then will the Tanoim agree that above 20 amos, the sukkah, the schach, would be kosher, even according to the Rabbanan. So just to review the last few lines, as far as Rav Honan and Rav Huna are concerned, if you were to ask them, what is the kosher area, the minimum kosher area of a sukkah? Forgetting about the issue of a too tall sukkah, let's say an average height sukkah, what is the minimum kosher size? They, Rav Honan and Rav Huna, will agree, as long as it's machzik roshav ruba v'shulchano, it's okay. What they are arguing about, Rav Honan and Rav Huna are arguing about, is at what point is there no longer a Tanaic controversy concerning a too tall sukkah. And as we saw, Rav Hanan will tell you, as once you, it's more than Rosh Avrubu Shulchano, it can be a sukkah more than 20 amos of height. And according to Rav Huna, only if it's more than 4 by 4 amos will there be agreement that it can be more than 20 amos of height. At this point, we start a very long question. And you can see we've marked this with a long question marking. The question will take us till the third line from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Let us give a little bit of an overview of what's going to happen. Up till now, on this Amud, we had three triangles, three versions of Rav. Under what circumstances exists the Machlokes Tanoim? We're going to give you a Tanaic source in which there exists the same Machlokes Tanoim. The source will include a story concerning a woman known as Hilni Hamalka, Heleni Hamalka. Heleni Hamalka is described as having a sukkah, and she's a woman, and she also has seven children sitting with her in this, call this royal sukkah. And we have to emphasize, as we go through the Gemara, that this story is taught in the context of the Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbon and Rabbi Huda. So that whatever the description of her sukkah is, it has to, it would have to reflect the descriptions we saw above 1, 2, and 3. Make the long question shorter in our mind, we're going to, after describing this royal sukkah, and we know that there is a Tanaic controversy concerning this case because it's taught in that context, we'll ask ourselves, this royal sukkah, is it likely that it's less than 4 by 4 amos? Is this woman and seven children? Is it likely that it's that the whole sukkah holds only Rosh Arubo v'Shulchano? It can barely hold one person. Of course not. This royal sukkah then would have to be larger than Rosh Arubo v'Shulchano, and also larger than 4 by 4 amos, because in an area of 4 by 4 amos you can't have 8 people sitting. 4x4 amos is two meters by two meters. You can't fit seven people in that area. And yet we have a sukkah that is capable of holding 8 people. And still there's a machlokes tanoim about this, we'll call this, it's this sukkah more than 20 amos high. This royal sukkah, as we'll see in the Gemara, was more than 20 amos high. So that as far as the first approach, the approach taken by Rav Yoshia, that the Machlokes Tanoim exists when the top of the wall doesn't touch the Schach, could that be that you'd have a royal sukkah where the top of the wall doesn't touch the Schach? The Gemara will tell you, yeah, that's quite possible, because that will allow for more ventilation. So you can have a royal sukkah where the Schach doesn't, where the walls don't touch the schach, there's a gap. And as we saw in Rav Yoshia's approach, the number one approach, it in fact was under those circumstances that you have a machlokes tanoim. So we've got this royal sukkah, Heleni Amalka sukkah with her seven children, concerning which we have a machlokes tanoim. That fits in very well with the scheme of things as presented by Rav Yoshia, that under such circumstances where the top of the wall doesn't touch the schach, you will have a machlokes tanoim. But according to Rav Huna and Rav Hanan, that said once you go above a certain small area, there is no longer a machlokas tanoim. Here we have a large area sukkah, and still there is a machlokas tanoim. That presents a problem for Rav Huna and Rav Hanan bar Rabba. This question, as we said, will continue till the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. So now let's continue in the Gemara. Meisvei. We present a Tanaic source. Sukkah shihi gavor l'malo me'esrim amah psula. A sukkah whose schach is more than 20 amas is unfit. And 20 amas from the ground, of course. Reb Yehuda machshir ad arboim v'chamishim amo. And Reb Yehuda says, it's okay up till 40 amas, 50 amas from the ground. Omar Rav Yehuda, Maisi Beholeni Amalka, Belud. There was a story involving this queen, Heleni Amalka, in the town of Lud. That's the name of a place. Shehoisa Sukasa Gavoy Me'esrim Amo. Her sukkah was more, her schach was more than 20 amas from the ground. Vayuzakenim Nichnosim V'yoytzim L'sham. And the elders, the sages, entered and left that sukkah V'lo Amru La Davar. And they didn't say anything to her. They didn't express any objection. So what is Reb Yehuda trying to say? Saying, you see that if it's above 20 amas, it's quite okay. Otherwise, they would have spoken up. Amru Lo, the Rabbanan who argued with Reb Yehuda, said to him, Misham Raya, from the story involving this woman, you are trying to bring a proof to your point of view. Isha Haisa Ptur Min HaSukkah. She's a woman, and women are exempt from mitzvos that are positive and time-bound in nature. With that which we call mitzvahs aseh, a positive mitzvah, shehazman groma, that is time-based, or calendar, or date-based. And the mitzvah of sukkah is a positive command that you shall dwell in sukkahs for 7 days, and the Torah spells out during the month of Tishrei, from the 15th of the month till 7 days later. That's time-bound. Omar Lohen, Rabbi Yehuda says back to the Chumim, says, I know very well she was a woman and a woman is exempt from such a mitzvah. But nevertheless, follow Shiva Bonim Havu Law, she had 7 sons. The Olid, and furthermore, Kol Ma'aseha Lo Osta Elo Alpi Chachamim. This was a law-abiding woman. All her actions were done only in accordance with rabbinic ruling. Now, you notice we have a bracketed section, and use the bracket length indicator to see on the side how far this goes. So let us skip this initially, just to keep, so that we can maintain a flow of what's going on. We pick up 3 lines from the bottom. By the way, there's a note we have on the side and by the star, and it says Matras HaSograim L'Shem Diluk. The purpose of these brackets is for initial skipping. Kedei Liros Miad HaKushya Sagamor, in order to appreciate the question immediately. B'Soich HaMagmor She'elah She'elo Al Toichan HaBrais. Within the brackets, the Gemara will question the text of the source itself. Why does it say everything that it does? But we'll say that's a technicality. In the meantime, we'll skip through 3 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Bishlo malamandomar b'shein defanos magios l'schach machloikis. According to Rabbi Yoshia, that said that when the top of the wall doesn't touch the schach, only then do you have the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda allows more than 20 amos above ground of schach, and even if the schach doesn't touch the walls, Darka shel Malka leishiv besukah shein tfanas magiz l'schach mishum. We continue at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Mishum avira, meaning it is the way. Darka shel Malka means it's the way of queens to sit in such sukkahs. We call it a royal sukkah where the top of the wall does not quite reach the schach. That's something imaginable. It's normal. And why mishum avira? Because that provides additional ventilation. Elolamand Yomar, we're at the top line of Gimel Amud Aleph. Elolamand Yomar Basuka Kitana Machloikes. But according to Rav Chonan and Rav Huna, who set up the Machloikes Tanoim only in the context of a squalid sukkah, V'chidarka shel malka leishev besukah ketanah. Is it the way of queens to sit in squalid sukkahs? No, of course not. Queens sit in expansive sukkahs. So that the story involving Helene and Malka must have been an expansive sukkah. And yet, there was a Tanaic controversy surrounding that story. So that poses a problem for Rav Huna and Rav Hanan, who said that once you have an expansive sukkah, there is no machlokes tanoim. Here we see there is a machlokes tanoim, even though it was expansive. The Gemara will proceed to answer on behalf of those opinions, Rav Huna and the third opinion, Rav Hanan bar Rava. But before we get to that, we have a bracketed section that we skipped. Let's go over it. In the story, we saw Reb Yehuda mention that I acknowledge that she was a woman, and on that grounds, the laws of Sukkah wouldn't apply, so that would be a good reason for the Rabbanan to have been silent over there. The sages that entered would have been silent. However, she had seven sons with her, and she did everything according to the Chachomim, the Gemara. And the question itself that we start in the bracketed section is a long question. Loma li lemisni, why was it of importance to teach the oid kol ma'aseh lo osa ela pi Chachomim, that all of her actions were done according to the ruling of the sages? Hachi ko'omar lehu. Thusly, Rabbi Yehuda was saying to the Chachomim, Ki tomru bonim ketanim hoyu. If you say that she had, and if you try to say that the seven children that she had with her were very small, uktanim ptumin asuka, and because of their extreme youth, they are exempt from sukkah. Kevon deshiva havu, since there were seven and they weren't whatever the multiple of seven is, seven tuplets, if you will, since they were seven of them, kevon deshiva havu e efshur delo havu buhu chad she'eino tzorach li'imo. It couldn't be that there was one that was old enough not to be requiring of his mother. We are touching here upon an issue known as chinuch bonim, educating or training children in the performance of mitzvos. And at an age of, let us say, seven, if a woman had seven children, you can assume that the eldest child is at least 7 years old. That being the case, he is subject to the mitzvah of chinuch. And hence, the Gemara is pointing out that since she had seven children, we'll just read the last line again, e efshe de lo havi behu chad she'eino tzorech li'imo. It would be impossible that there wasn't one that no longer needs his mother, meaning that's the age at which a child has a certain level of independence. He's not dependent on his mother, and therefore he is at the age that he can be educated. V'chitemru, and if you try to say koton she'eino tzorech li'imo midrabonin hu demechayev, you might try to say, okay, a child that no longer is dependent on his mother is obligated only rabbinically. V'ihi midrabonin lo mashkicha, and she doesn't pay attention to the teachings of the rabbis. That's not true. Toshma, the ode, kol ma'aseha lo osa elo al pi chachomim. Everything that she does is in accordance with the rabbinic teachings. And the rabbinic teachings include, make sure your child sits in a kosher type sukkah. We want to just correct something we mentioned before, a technical point that We said that there was a long question here, and we want to retract that. There, simply, this section of Gemara is trying to explain why it was necessary for Rebbe Yehuda to point out that everything she did was Alpi the Chachamim. So we are answering why that was necessary. It was necessary to convey the idea that she had to have been sitting in what Rebbe Yehuda perceived as a kosher sukkah. So she was sitting in a sukkah with schach more than 20 amas from the ground, and it was at least for the purpose of educating her child or children, and the sages of that time entered and saw this and kept quiet, giving a basis for Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda's opinion that a too tall sukkah is acceptable. So And that was all explained by Rebbe Yehuda's comments that here we have a lady, the Hilni HaMalka, with her seven children, and she was a woman that observed all rabbinic teachings and would make sure that her son or her children were exposed to a kosher sukkah, hence justifying in Rebbe Yehuda's mind a sukkah more than with schach more than 20 amos overhead. Now, we read this, we continue in the reading of the Gemara, even though we read this already. The description of this sukkah, we'll call this royal sukkah, Bishlamo Lamanda Omar, Bishain Defanos Magios Lischach Machlokes. This works well according to Rabbi Yoshia, who said that the Tanaic controversy surrounded a sukkah whose walls didn't touch the schach. It's the way of queens to sit in sukkahs whose walls don't touch the schach, mishum avira, because of the air circulation. But according to the opinion that holds that within a sukkah ketana there is a machlokes, meaning Rav Chonon and Rav Huna that we saw, that held that the whole machlokes tanoim exists only in a sukkah ketana, in a squalid type sukkah, and Rebbe Yehuda is machshir it with a schach more than 20 amas from the ground. The chidarka shel malka leishit besukkah ketana, is it the way of a queen to sit in a squalid type sukkah? Of course not. And yet there was a machlokes. The machlokis in an expansive type sukkah. That is a problem for Rav Huna and Rav Chonon. We answer by taking advantage of picture 15 on page 5 of the Pirush Chai. What we see there is a sukkah that looks like a collection of booths, small booths. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Ado. Lo nitzrucho ella lesuka ha'asuya kitonios kitonios. The story in the source on Beis Amid Beis featured a sukkah that looked like that, made of little booths. So they were in fact a collection of squalid sukkahs. V'chidarka, the Gemara asks though, v'chidarka shel malka leishe besukah asuya kitonios kitonios. Is it the way of queens to sit in something like that? No, certainly not. Omar Ravashi, Ravashi answers, and we look at illustration 16. Lo nitzrucha ella lekitonios sheba. In fact, it was a royal sukkah, large, expansive sukkah, but within the sukkah there was a booth, a type of enclave in the sukkah. If we look in the Rashi, on the third line from the top, the Kitonius Sheba, Sukkah Gedola, the name of Sibasa, she was sitting in a large sukkah for all those assembled with her. The Kitonius Ketana Besoichalitznius, and there was a small booth in the sukkah for privacy purposes. The He, the Kitonius Yatswa, the queen sat in that. The Afagav, the Psula, even though it was squalid, and it was unfit, being that it was more, the sach was more than 20 amas from the ground, and this of course reflects the opinion of the Rabbonon. It doesn't bother us, it didn't bother the sages of her time either, because a woman is exempt from sukkah. So now let's continue in the Gemara. We're focused on what we see is in illustration 16, that type of sukkah, and we're going to continue in the Gemara. Rabbonon Savri, Boneho Basuka Ma'alyo Havu Yasvi. The Rabbonon hold that her sons that needed, in fact, to be in a kosher sukkah, they were in a sukkah Ma'alyo, in a proper sukkah with all of the, in the large section of the sukkah, even though the sach was more than 20 amas from the ground. But as we saw, Rav Chonon and Rav Huna will tell you, since it's expansive, it doesn't matter that the sach is more than 20 amas, it's kosher. V'ihi yasov b'kitinius mishum tzniusa, and she alone sat in the booth section, the small booth section, for modesty purposes, u'mishum hachi lo amri la dovor, and that's why the sages of her time that saw her and saw the setup didn't say anything. For Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Rabbi Yehuda was trying to argue his position based on her sukkah with her children. He held Boneho Gabo Havu Yasvi. Her sons were sitting with her in the booth. V'afilu hachi lo amri lo davar. And even so, the sages of her time didn't say anything. Now, it's a little hard for me to imagine that they all were with her at one time, but nevertheless, at any given time, she and any one of her sons might have been with her at that time, and since they required chinuch, they required to be educated, and they have to be educated in a kosher sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda felt that he could bring proof from that story to his point of view. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.